Gentlemen, it is time to kick off our Smart Speaker series on this Thursday afternoon. Joining us from Prince Edward Island, Faye Johnstone, co-owner and executive director of consulting firm Wisdom to Action. Tim Powers is the chairman of Summa Strategies and the managing director of Abacus Data. And Gurtan Singh is the vice president at Crestview Strategy, a community advocate and lawyer. Welcome to the Smart Speaker series for the Thursday edition.
Hey, Rashmi.
How are y'all doing?
How you doing, Rashmi?
How are y'all doing? We're getting through the air quality conditions that we're living through right now. Faye, you're on Prince Edward Island. You might have the cleanest air among all of us.
I make a commitment to join this show from a different city, town, or island every week, and it is gorgeous out, sunny, and there's no smoke anywhere near me at the moment.
Okay, and we are grateful. I am broadcasting from home because of the air quality, so my budgie is very happy to hear all of you as well. Miles might make an appearance during our discussion here. But how are we all feeling with the air quality? I'm just being a little bit more protective because I speak for 4 hours a day. Tim, how are you holding up?
Well, it's great here in Ottawa today. It's only, I think we're at a one on the air quality index, better than the last three when I would say it either was like waking up after you'd rolled in an ashtray, or I used to be a bouncer in the day in bars in St. John's when smoking was allowed, and you'd come home at night, you just have to take your clothes off and almost burn them. It was like that here. I mean, obviously we're not at the front of the fire, and we're not in that sort of grief and pain, but it's tough. My son missed some sports because of it all, so it's impacting people. It's not something that that is to be blown away with in the wind, Rashmi. It's going to come back, apparently.
Well, yeah, depending on, like, this summer is just going to surprise us, I think. And the reach of this smoke has been surprising. But I take your point, Tim. That's what it feels like. It reminds me of when you used to be able to smoke in the clubs, and then you wake up the next day and your clothes stink. But the health impacts are much worse. There are particles in this air that you wouldn't get from a campfire. Gurtan, how are you?
You know, it's actually really upsetting. I'm finding myself really thinking about these fires, because I remember a couple of years ago when these fires first started to impact BC and me thinking, oh, it's terrible, but it's not going to happen here in Ontario. And then I remember a couple of years later, they started in Alberta, and I thought the same thing, oh, it's a West Coast thing. We are learning and realizing now that what the science has been saying is now a fact for us in Ontario. Climate change knows no boundaries. And we're seeing the impact of climate change. We're seeing how terribly it's devastating folks across the world. In North America, in America, actually, the number is something like 128 million people, a third of the USA right now, is under a bad air advisory. And I think this is an important wake-up call for each and every single one of us, that we need to do everything we can in our power to address the greatest threat to humanity, which is the climate crisis.
Mm-hmm. And we know from the wildfires in Australia 2019-2020 that the smoke can cause atmospheric temperatures. The smoke that we're seeing right now impacting us today, of course, but years down the road, scientists are already starting to predict what the impacts could be. So I don't know where we go with that, Faye. I do believe the scientists in saying that there's still policy that could be implemented that could slow things down here. What's your take on how we tackle climate change?
I'm scared for the future. I'm scared that we're going to keep telling ourselves that there is a window of opportunity. We can do this next year. We can do this in 5 years. We can do this in 50 years. Mm-hmm. And that there's a piece of that that is rationalizing away a crisis that we can't avoid addressing today. And I think that it's like, I was in Halifax yesterday, and mm-hmm. they're experiencing their own crises around fires. This is impacting folks all across this country. And one of the things I love about Canada is our forests and our natural landscape. And if we don't act soon, if we don't imagine new possibilities soon, this is going to be the world that we live in. And it's not going to be a pretty world. It's not going to be one where we can go camping in the same way we can now. We have to put some urgency behind our commitment to climate action.
Essentially, there is not a fire ban for the whole province, but the premier is asking everyone to just hold off on those campfires, right? Just out of respect of the thousands of volunteer firefighters out there risking their lives right now to fight these wildfires that are out of control. Tim, do you hear that? It's an overwhelming challenge. I appreciate that. But could politicians try to get together to tackle it? I'm thinking about acid rain in the 80s and early 90s, right? We dealt with that.
We dealt with that. We dealt with other air pollution challenges, which is was separate but connected to climate change. Yeah, I think we could, but the challenge right now are the other challenges, Rashmi. I mean, you saw them play out yesterday here in Ottawa in the House of Commons, affordability and people worried about what they can afford today. When you're worried about your house, when you're worried about bringing groceries home to the kids to feed them, it's harder to get people to commit to this. Though, as Faye articulately said, I mean, it's a pressing problem, too. But I don't see that collective effort yet. Because as Gertan alluded to, it's almost as if we hope, oh, it's just not really in our backyard now, or it's an anomaly. So I don't think we're anywhere near there yet, Rashmi, in terms of figuring out the collective approach to all of this.
Gertan,
I think Tim, though.
Please.
Yeah, just going to try to jump in a bit beforehand. Tim, you got me energized up because that is a really important comment you mentioned. The idea that environmental justice is not disconnected from economic justice is kind of the idea. And if we actually want to properly tackle the climate crisis, part of it is making sure that people have housing and homes and good paying jobs, because both of them go hand in hand. And I think it's making that connection, because the worse our environment is facing, that impacts people's health. This is not just an environmental issue. Like, we have to understand that this is a healthcare issue. This is an economic issue. The worst people are impacted by this this haze and the smoke from these wildfires. The hardest going to hurt people's economy because of people's healthcare impact, their ability to do their job outdoors, and far, far more. So we have to understand this all connected, and addressing one needs to be done in a context of addressing all these other factors as well.
Tim, you have a thought?
Yeah, no, I don't disagree with that. I just, based on what I've said, I mean, it may be better at Queen's Park, but I'm not ready to say that's the case either. Based on what I see around the current, with respect to Gertan's brother, who's a fine man, and some of the other leaders, they're fine people, but there's political reward isn't being afforded right now in the whole spectrum to people who find accord. The Liberal NDP supply agreement aside, but that was focused on a couple of issues. I just don't think we have the broad political will yet to go there, and that's unfortunate.
Yeah, it really is. It's a dire situation. But let's move to the events at Queen's Park then. The Ministry of Education just passed a bill that gives the Ministry of Education more control over school boards. And Siobhan Morris, CTV's Queen's Park bureau chief, was trying to get into the weeds of what powers the province really got out of this. It doesn't really seem clear at this point. Gertan, you used to work at Queen's Park. What do you make of this?
So when I look at this piece of legislation, I think of it in this context. When we think of our schools, we know that there's a whole slew of issues that people are facing right now, that students, parents, education workers, and teachers are facing. And it's the bulk of these issues are the vast underfunding of our schools. We know that we need more funding for schools. We know we need to have smaller class sizes. We know across the board, we need more support and services and upgrades to our schools. This piece of legislation doesn't address any of those factors at all. And to me, it's missing the mark, because if we want to have a robust and prosperous province, it starts with educating the next generation and making sure that they have the supports necessary and making sure that teachers and education workers can do their job. And I feel like this legislation just misses the mark and doesn't do that.
Okay, let's take a break for traffic right now, and then we'll continue our Smart Speaker series on the other side. I'd love to get Faye and Tim's insights on this legislation as well. Bill 98 passing at Queen's Park, and it essentially just promises some cohesiveness among our educational outputs. How are our kids doing? Are they going to do better with these provincial standards? We'll get that conversation going on the other side, as well as many more issues to discuss with our Smart Speaker series. And please do, everyone, speak together. You don't have to wait for me to point to each other. I love the conversations we have here, and I want to keep them going. So we'll take a break, and our Smart Speaker series continues on the other side. And we are continuing our smart speaker series on this Thursday afternoon with Gurtan Singh, VP at Crestview Strategy, a community advocate and lawyer, Tim Powers, the chairman of Summa Strategies and the managing director of Abacus Data, and Faye Johnstone, co-owner and executive director of consulting firm Wisdom to Action, connecting with us on Thursdays from different parts of the country. Faye is on Prince Edward Island right now, where you have the cleanest air in the country. And we were just talking about Ontario Matters. So at Queen's Park, royal assent given to Bill 98, which essentially gives the province more powers over school boards. We just don't know how those powers are going to be used. But what we've heard from the Minister of Education is that he's concerned about the test results that have come out with our students. We're just not doing well at math. And so could this help, Faye? How do you interpret this move?
You know, I definitely have a chip on my shoulder around schools these days, notably just thinking about the stuff going on in New Brunswick around trans kids. I know we're going to get to that. But I just want to emphasize that it's galling that the Minister of Education has time for just about everything except more than a couple words on trans and gender diverse students as we're seeing this attack on their rights and inclusion in our schools. And so, setting that aside, I would just say that I would love to strengthen our school boards in every way imaginable, but this is a really broad piece of legislation. I think strengthening math education is good, but as has been said before, we have a lot more to do with our schools and to improve mental health, improve inclusion, and prepare folks for the real world that they're going to meet just a few years after they educate themselves.
Yeah, I appreciate you bringing this up, Faye. And Tim, would love your thoughts on the bill passing, what powers it gives the province, the Ministry of Education, at least, over school boards. And also what Faye's mentioning here is in New Brunswick, they're making a change where anyone under 16 who is in public school and identifies as trans or non-binary, they're not going to be able to correct their pronouns in school and be addressed appropriately without parental consent. Your thoughts on both of these?
Well, start with Ontario. Look, any elected government has the right to shape and direct the authorities underneath them the way they see fit. It's great to have key performance indicators, as Stephen Lecce is talking about. He just needs to back them up with the funding to deliver upon them in schools. He says he's going to hire 1,000 more teachers. If so, that's great. The property aspect of this is fascinating to me, the fact that now the province may have more control over school properties and how that will work, what that's intended to do. I will watch that. But the New Brunswick situation and phase in that part of the world right now, and certainly is more informed and thoughtful on the broader subject of trans inclusion than I am. But I will say this. I used to live in New Brunswick. I used to work in New Brunswick. And I am fascinated and disappointed by this. There are lots of open-minded, thoughtful people in New Brunswick. When I lived there, I was, though, as is the case in Newfoundland and Labrador, still not shocked to see old, traditional, faith-based religious approaches influencing public policymaking. And I wonder if that is the case here. That doesn't excuse anything Premier Higgs is doing here, who I've known to be a fairly pragmatic person, but they're way off base here. My experience with this is having a couple of fellow parents who have children who are transitioning, who are going through the identity journey that comes with all of that. And I have watched them and learned from them. And what I have watched and learned is it is about watching and learning and not dictating and not trying to have somebody rawly define who they are as they're on their own journey. And if you don't listen, if you don't learn, and you subscribe, you're causing so much damage. So I think this is a real problem for Premier Higgs. It may be a vote winner in certain parts of New Brunswick, but it's not going to help the kids that it supposedly is designed to help.
He's willing to call an election on this. He's saying he's taking a strong position for families, Gurtan.
You know, and when I think of this situation, what's the problem that he's trying to fix? There's no issue with how the system was previously. There's no crisis here. There's no everything that's happening to me instead looks like it's this importation of this American style of politics that's really focused on stigmatizing and othering parts of our community that are most often marginalized and need help and need support. this kind of importation of this culture to Canada has no place. It's divisive. It separates people when we need to be bringing people together. And, you know, it's often when folks and elected officials don't want to address things like affordability or cost of medicine or, you know, all the issues that people are actually dealing with that we should be acting on, that instead they start focusing on these divisive issues that really are meant to distract people from the real issues that people are focusing on right now. So it's problematic. It's wrong. It's a bad decision, and it's upsetting.
Faye, your final thought?
20 to 40% of homeless young folks identify as queer and trans. Many kids do not have safe homes. And this is going to literally force teachers and educators to misgender trans and gender diverse kids in the classroom. It's going to put kids in a bind where they might have to come out to parents when they're not sure they're ready to, and potentially face repercussion in an unsafe home. And so all of this is terrifying to me. You know, I have been warning for years about rising hate in this country, and I keep feeling like I'm not being taken seriously. And this is the first example we've seen where a province is actually taking steps in the wrong direction in recent years. And so we have to take this seriously. And I really hope that this sounds the alarm for everyone else to not rest on our laurels and to not imagine that progress is linear, because our communities are under threat right now and we need to be there for them.
Yeah, and we'll continue to keep having the discussion here on our Smart Speaker series on The Rush. It is disappointing that we have to keep talking about it as well, because you just want to let people live, and then we can talk about policies and issues that actually impact all of us as a community, you know? Remember? That's what these people are saying too, though. They want to get back to the good old days. What about the idea of working from home if you're an MP? I heard earlier on this station people not very impressed with this idea, but the government House leader seems to be going full force with it. Tim, do you support it?
Generally, I'm trying to get my employees to come back to work, Rashmi, so I can't say I support this one. I want them back at work. But joking aside, yeah, I generally support it. Look, I think it's reflective of the world. You know, we're just talking about accepting people and the world in which we live in for who we are. If we want more people to offer for office and lift the game that could come with all of that, then we have to try and create conditions that are reflective of the modern workplace. And every workplace I know right now, other than, even in the police and the military, are trying to create hybrid models to improve employee well-being and improve productivity. So Parliament should be no different.
Isn't this great, though, for MPs to say, I'm going to spend more time in my riding? Yeah. Gerta?
Exactly. Like you kind of said, that's one aspect of it. So there is this, like, there's, of course, you know, having people together in Ottawa is obviously, it's, you know, we have that component where people come together and they have that ability to connect directly. And that can, of course, help with team building and with problem solving much, much more. But having the ability as well for communities to be represented when maybe their elected official is unwell and doesn't have the ability to take, you know, sometimes the travel from parts of Canada to Ottawa can be like a day or a day and a half. Mm-hmm. And just because someone is unwell and maybe can't make that travel for that week or for that period of time, that community shouldn't have their elected voice not be able to contribute to the debate happening in Parliament. So yeah. I think this hybrid model is great, and I think it's important, because let's take the MPs out of the equation. Let's look at the voice of the voice that the elected person is supposed to represent.
Yeah. Of the electorate. I'm so sorry. I'm working from home and I lost track of time. That is one of the impacts. That was our Smart Speaker series. Faye Johnstone, Tim Powers, Gurtan Singh. We'll pick it up again next week, friends. Thank you for today. It's The Rush News Talk.